Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in thee, Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The word of God, God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lucy. Great job. All right. Now, kids, y'all are welcome to sit up here if you want, or you can go back with your parents. It doesn't matter. Before we get started on my message today, I wanted to invite Jameson to come down and talk with me for a minute. Here he is. Morning, Jameson.
Good morning.
Tell everyone who you are and tell us how old you were when you started playing your first instrument and what it was.
Okay, well, my name's Jameson and I'm the worship leader here. I was the drummer in my home church at age 4. So I started playing before that. I have no memory of not playing. Right.
Yeah. So what inspires you? You're a songwriter. Mm-hmm. So what is it that inspires you to write songs?
Well, lots of things can inspire a song, but I think my best songs come out of my own emotions, especially the sad ones or the dark ones or the things that you feel like you need to overcome. It's kind of like a therapy to write that.
Right. So when you're done writing, how does that feel?
Oh, it feels great, as long as the song is good.
Yeah. And when you play it again, does it bring all of that back? Or
Sometimes it does. Like, I write lots and lots of songs, so the few songs that we do here that I've written, maybe every 100th or 200th song I've written, but the songs that, like, especially worship songs, sometimes I've sang them 100, 200 times, and they'll hit you right in the feels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Jameson, you lead worship here. Mm-hmm. You have a music school and a recording studio. That's a lot of music, and that's how you make your living. So do you ever get tired of music?
I do not ever. I actually, and you can ask my family, I'll sometimes teach music for 10 or 11 hours and I come home and I play my guitar before I go to bed. It's just awesome. Kind of in me.
That is awesome. Well, thank you. And thank you for giving your gifts to this church. And I wanted to make a plug. Jameson's got a great band. If you are musically inclined, absolutely, I'm sure Jameson would love to talk to you about being part of the praise team. And there's also some important people. Stand up in the back. Here are some important people on the team. Yes. We've got Karen, who does our lights. Sarah's doing the screens for us today so that we know what words to sing. And Anand does the sound. And they are looking for more people because you can imagine these people are back here working every Sunday. And we would like to give them the opportunity to worship. So if you are interested in that, we'd get you trained up and you could help us out.
I always say about the sound team is most people don't know they're back there until they're not back there.
Yeah.
And then you would, it's very noticeable.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks, Jameson. So let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather and worship you, to direct our attention back to you after a busy week, to give you praise and thanksgiving through song, through hearing your word, and through being together. We ask that you would be in our presence in a way that we would be renewed and re-energized after we spend this time in worship, that we are better able to face the world, that we are able to show your face to all those that we meet this week. Lord, when we come in your presence, we bring with us all of our cares and concerns, our worries and our hurts. And we ask that you would help us to leave those with you, that you would help us to speak those to you, and that you would help us to feel your presence in all of the situations in our life, that we would know that we are not alone, and that we would find hope in you, even in our darkest, most trying times. Lord, we We thank you for all that you have done in our lives, all that you are doing in our lives, and all that you have promised. And now we have the opportunity to join our voices together and pray the prayer that Jesus taught his followers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right. So this morning, that scripture that Lucy shared with us was from the book of Habakkuk. Now, that is not a book of the Bible that we talk about a lot. I mean, have you preached from that one much, Gary? Probably not ever, yeah. It is right there in the Old Testament, in case you're having a hard time finding it in your Bibles. It's right between Nahum and Zephaniah. I mean, right there. Earlier this morning, one of the kids suggested you just get an app. You just get a Bible app and you can find it right away. I think he was onto something. Well, Habakkuk is one of several books in the Old Testament. I think there's about 18 books that contain the words and the stories of the prophets. And the prophets were people who heard messages from God that they were to share with specific people. With specific people. And these weren't always messages anyone was looking to hear, you know. These were not the sorts of things people really wanted to hear. Because usually prophets showed up when people were messing up. When people were messing up. And what prophets would do is they would remind the people of the ways that God expected them to behave. The ways that God expected them to live and treat each other. Now, last week, if you were here, we talked about the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, that is a scripture from the New Testament, but that is not just a New Testament idea. All of God's rules about how you treat people and how you are to act, that is just part of the entire Bible. And so the prophets would come around when God had watched his people mess up for too long, and they would share a message about what was going to happen to them if they didn't get their life straightened out. And unfortunately, by the time the prophets came around, a lot of times it didn't really matter if the people did get it straightened out by then. They had been messing up for so long that God had already decided what was going to happen to them. It was sort of like this, like, you two, like, are you ever playing? And one of you is doing something you shouldn't, and Lucy, you might tell your brother, you better stop doing that or you're going to get in trouble with mom and dad, right? Kind of like that, except for I bet sometimes, Lucy, you make sure that your mom and dad know, right? God didn't need someone to tell him that his children were messing up. He knew exactly what they were doing, but you get the idea. So Habakkuk was one of those prophets. And this book that has his name on it is interesting because it's very short. And in the first two chapters of the book, you see Habakkuk talking to God. And God has told him what is going to happen to his people because of the way that they have been behaving. And when Habakkuk hears what God is going to do, because God says, this powerful, powerful nation is going to conquer Judah. That's God's people. This powerful nation is going to conquer Judah. And Habakkuk hears that, and he's like, why? Why, God, would you use these terrible people to send a message to these people that you say that you love? And he asks God that. I think that's pretty brave. He asks God, why? Now, God didn't get mad at Habakkuk, but he didn't really give him an answer that made sense. And he definitely did not say, you know what, you are absolutely right. Scratch that. That's not what I'm going to do. And that's what life is like sometimes, right? Sometimes things happen in our lives that just don't make sense. We don't get what we want. Like, for instance, did anyone this Thursday try to go to a particular store and get a particular stuffed animal for a particular price and not have that work out so well this week, right? Sometimes we don't get what we want. And sometimes we just end up looking at our friends and our family and at God and we say, why? Why? And we usually don't get an answer that makes any sense. So that takes us to our video. In the beginning of the video this morning, we saw this big fluffy lamb. And what was he doing? He was dancing, right? Now, what made him feel like dancing? His fur. He thought he looked awesome, right? He looked great. He was really proud of the way that he looked. And the sun was shining, and it was a beautiful day. And he just was feeling himself, right? And he loved it, and so he danced and celebrated that. Have you ever put on like an outfit you really love and your hair's looking just right and you're going to get to spend the day doing all the things that you want to do and eating all the food that you want to eat and being around all the people that you love? That makes us feel pretty good, right? We like days like that. Some of us may dance. I don't know. Anybody dance when they get happy? Maybe just in your car. That's me, my car. So anyway, this lamb was very happy, and he was dancing. And do you remember what happened? He had neighbors around him. He had gophers and snakes and an owl and some fish. What were they doing? They were dancing too. They were dancing too. That's right. It made them happy because he was so happy. That is definitely something that I relate to. I don't know about y'all. But sometimes I go to work, and I'm just having, you know, it's not a terrible day, but it's not a great day. Like, I put on something, and I thought it felt fine, and then after driving in the car for about 30 minutes, it feels like, yeah, this is too tight. I don't like the way I feel. My commute was kind of a mess, and I'm just feeling kind of bleh. But then I have this coworker. And she's got the biggest smile, and she's got this laugh. She's even louder when she laughs than I am. And she'll come in, and she'll be smiling, and she'll tell me a story. And next thing you know, I'm smiling, and I'm laughing too, because her attitude is contagious. If she is happy, it makes me feel happy. Now, it can work the other way, too. Have you ever been around? You've been feeling like, I'm feeling fine. Today is going great. And then someone comes in, and they're mad, and they're complaining, and they're sad. The next thing you know, you're kind of feeling kind of, too. So it kind of is contagious, the way our attitudes are. So at the beginning of the video, that lamb is all happy, and all of his neighbors are happy. And then what happens? That's right. A cart comes in and they grab him up and they shave all of his fluffy wool off. And he doesn't have any of that that made him happy before. And the lamb says, I don't feel so good about myself anymore. I'm sad. And my friends, they're laughing at me. And I'm just going to go crawl up under this bush. It's raining. And I'm just going to hide and be sad. Now, being sad and feeling like running and hiding, that is definitely how Habakkuk could have felt after God had a not good answer for him. He didn't have an answer that he understood about why bad things were going to happen. And this is how we can feel, too, when we don't understand the things that happen to us. This is how we can feel when we don't understand why some of the good things that we used to have, we don't have anymore. when someone that we liked is not being nice to us anymore, when we don't get to do the things that we want to do, we can definitely feel that way. When someone that we care about gets sick or even dies, it would be very, very easy in these times in our life to just go run and hide and be sad. It would be very, very easy to feel like we don't have anything in our life to be happy about, that we have nothing to dance and celebrate. And that is what Habakkuk did. He was thinking about what was going to happen, and so he wrote what is basically a poem, the whole last chapter of Habakkuk. And here's one of the things that he says. He says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Now that's kind of, we don't really maybe relate to the way that he's talking, but he's talking about there's no food growing, there's no animals, it's kind of desolate. It's depressing. It's very sad. And so like today, some of the things that we might say that would be similar are things like, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm sad, I feel alone, I'm scared, I'm sick, I'm worried, I feel like I don't have any friends. My family doesn't love me. School is hard. Work is awful. So these are some of the things that we say, but we can take a little lesson from what happened to this lamb, as silly as this is, but this lamb, it doesn't end. His story does not end with him curled up under a bush in the rain, does it? A jackalope comes in and he finds that lamb and he says to the lamb, why are you moping around? What is wrong? Why are you so sad? And the lamb explains. He tells him all the things that he's feeling. He says, my neighbors are making fun of me. I don't have all of my fluffy wool. I'm just pink. I'm just pink. Now that jackalope, he does an awesome thing. He listens to what that lamb has to say. Don't we all know how important it is when we're not feeling good to have someone who will really listen to us? To really listen to us. And after he listens, this is some of the things that the jackalope says. What is wrong with pink? Sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. When you find that you're down, well, just look around. You still got a body, good legs, and fine feet. Get your head in the right place, and hey, you're complete. Now, as for the dancing, you can do more. You can reach great heights. In fact, you can soar. And then the jackalope shows him how to dance even higher and better than ever before. And what does the lamb do? Yep, he starts dancing around, and it doesn't matter anymore whether he has his fur, his wool or not, because that grows back. It doesn't matter whether he has his wool or whether he's all naked and pink again. He still dances around. Now, that verse that Lucy read for us earlier this morning, do you remember how it went? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Now that is what Habakkuk wrote right after all of those things that I said that he listed before. Right after that, right after he listed how life was going to be maybe without food and how it was going to be depressing, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. And then he goes on to say, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Or maybe like that little lamb that we watched. A lamb who found that he still did have something to dance about after all, no matter what it was that he looked like. Now listen, sometimes life is really hard. Sometimes things happen that will break our hearts, things that don't make sense and things that hurt. And listen, God did not do those to you. This story in Habakkuk, this was a specific message for a specific people about a specific thing. God does not do these things. But sometimes things happen in our life that we don't get an answer that makes sense to us. And we find that it's hard to find something to dance about, something to celebrate when things get tough like that. But Habakkuk teaches us that we always have something to celebrate. Because what we can celebrate is God and the way that he always loves us. The God who will give us strength to rise above whatever it is that happens in our lives. Now, I talked with Jameson this morning about what music means to him. And we heard how a lot of the times when he's having a really low moment, he turns to music and he writes music as therapy for himself to help him remember that God is with him. And I wanted to talk with him about that because I know I have friends that music means so much to them. I have one friend who just speaks in songs. When she's having a bad day, when she needs encouragement, when she needs to encourage us, I'll get a text with a long string of lyrics from a song that just comes into her mind. And some of you may be like that. Some of you may be the sort that when you're having a hard time, you find Bible verses that give you strength and comfort. And that's what you like to have in front of you. So that is my hope for all of us this week, that we will spend some time thinking about what is it in our lives that helps us remember and stay connected to God. What is it that would help us remember that no matter what is happening in our lives, that we always have something to celebrate? Is it a song? Is it some scripture? Is there a book that has always been helpful to us? Are there stories about our lives that we can remember that help us stay grounded? So I want you to think about this week. What is it that you can have in your life so that you will always remember the most important thing that you have to celebrate and be joyful about? So that whether you're having a good day or a bad day, you always have that. And here's another thing I want us to remember this week. I want us to remember that it is so important to be like that jackalope. It is so important to be like that jackalope and listen to the people around us. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the stuff that's going on in our own lives that we're not paying close enough attention to those who are around us. So just remember how important it is to listen and to hear those who are around you. And then remember to reflect back to them where you have your hope. What it is that gives you joy and helps you to get through your hard times. Let's be a positive influence in the lives around us. And let us be a people who live in joy, who rejoice and who celebrate and who even dance together. Let us pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always there, that we always have something to give thanks for. No matter how good or bad our days are, we have the promise that you have given us of life everlasting. You sent your Son for us so that we would know how much we are loved. So help us remember this week that fact, and help us to keep something in our lives every single day that will help us stay connected to you and grounded in the thing that will truly make us dance and celebrate. In your Son's name, we pray this morning. Amen.